A reading from Mark 10, 28-31. Then Peter spoke up. We have left everything to follow you. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the Gospels will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first.
So this is the third part of a section that we started a few days ago, where a man comes running up to Jesus and says, how do I gain eternal life? And his response to that man astonishes Jesus' disciples. And then Peter, as he will, pipes up and brings it back to himself. And it's really quite stark, because I think that the takeaway I have from what Peter says is, we have left everything to follow you. I mean, it's so typically Peter. He's saying more than he wants to say. He's saying something that is true. But it's almost like, this has cost me a lot to follow you. He's bringing it to himself, which is obviously not what he should be saying.
Right. Well, there's a real interesting dynamic here in the twist of Jesus. Jesus basically started this conversation to say, give up everything that's of ultimate importance to you and come follow me. And the man couldn't do it, and he walks away sad. And now Jesus says, once you've given up everything, you get everything. It's in giving up the things that are closest to you that you'll receive back 100 times as much in the present age and in the age to come. I love that. As Western Christians, we tend to think about heaven as being the reward without recognizing that part of the reward is simply the obedience and walking with God now. And Jesus says, you'll get 100 times more in this life. When he says, which is interesting, and including a bit of persecution as well. There's just a realism to Jesus that in this moment, if you're going to follow me, you have to give up everything. But it's the moment you give up everything that you get everything back. And it really becomes something that you can enjoy.
And just to sort of reinforce what you said, he's not saying to give up everything is to embrace the monastic life. That's not what he is saying. You're still engaged in life. It's really the mainspring of your heart, I think, that he is after here.
Right. Well, it's that idea that he uses in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Declaration. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these other things will be added to you. It's this idea that you're in the world but not of the world. You're living fully as a citizen of God, a citizen of his kingdom, but at the same time as one who's engaged in this world. If Jesus is not Lord of that world, none of that stuff will ever be satisfying to you. But when Jesus becomes Lord of that world and you give those things up, you get them back to enjoy them again out of a sense of worship and not as something that you need to possess to feel good about yourself.
St. Augustine wrote a book called The City of God and the City of Man, and I think that what you just said is, oftentimes we choose to live in only the city of man, and we forget or pay no attention to or avoid the city of God, but they're in tension with one another. And I think you're right. Our feet are in the world. Our heart has to be with God.
And if we hold on to the city of man, we will never have the city of God. If we take fully hold of the city of God, he'll give us back the city of man.